Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Australian-born pianist Lisa Moore has become a fixture on the New York scene, mostly through her years of work with the downtown new music group called the Bang on a Can All-Stars. That has given her a reputation as something of a new music specialist. But Lisa's repertoire also includes straightforward classical piano works and pieces that involve her voice. Now, that can mean speech, or something that's not quite speech, as in the nonsense syllables used by the German Dada artist Kurt Schwitters. It can even mean good old-fashioned songs with good old-fashioned singing. And that is what Lisa Moore is going to start us off with today. Here she is, live in our Soundcheck studio with one of Randy Newman's most famous tunes, I Think It's Gonna Rain Today.
Broken windows and empty hallways, a pale dead moon in a sky streaked with gray. Human kindness is overflowing, and I think it's going to rain today. Scarecrows dressed in the latest styles, with frozen smiles to chase love away. Human kindness is over. And I think it's going to rain today. Lonely. Tin can at my feet, think I'll kick it down the street. That's the way to treat a friend. Bright before me, the signs implore me, help the needy to show them the way. Human kindness is overflowing, and I think it's going to rain today.
That is Lisa Moore, live at our piano here in the Soundcheck studio, and Randy Newman's song, I Think It's Gonna Rain Today. Lisa Moore joining us here in our Soundcheck studio on Soundcheck today. Lisa, welcome back.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
Now, talk about playing against type. I mean, here in New York, at least, your reputation over the years has been for very kind of avant-garde, unfamiliar, championing the unfamiliar. What are you doing playing something so friendly and familiar?
I guess I was craving it. I think in some ways I grew up with this music, and uh, I, You know, I mean, I grew up with Janis Ian, and you know, the first half hour you had, that was one of my songs, the 17. So in some ways it's coming back, I suppose, maybe to my roots, or just also I kind of always had a versatility, but I just didn't use it, you know.
Well, now that's the other thing, to talk about playing against type. Your reputation is also as an instrumental virtuoso at the keyboard, especially at the piano. How long have you been singing?
Well, I've been singing since I was a little kid, and I was always in the choir, and I was always acting in school plays, and so I was using my voice. And then when I got, you know, intensely into the piano at the conservatory, I actually took singing lessons for 2 years with an opera singer. Then everything went away, and I played all that difficult, thorny stuff from the 1970s and 80s, you know, the Babbitt and the Warrenons, and my voice did not get used, but it's well rested, and it's back.
So for you, is there some kind of a continuum along which you will find Janis Ian and Randy Newman and also Milton Babbitt and the rest of the modernists?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, my goal has always been to have a life of musical variety and diversity, and I, as a pianist, you can have that because there's so much you can do. And I suppose I like to embrace all styles, and if there's a way of programming it, which is a sort of way of mixing it in, people don't see the boundaries anymore. And I think that's been part of the philosophy of the downtown scene, except that they made the boundaries of no uptown stuff. But so I sort of go for repertoire that's in the middle, maybe, but also now embracing more popular music.
So, for example, this concert you're doing Saturday night at Merkin Hall will include this Randy Newman piece, but it'll also include the Martin Bresnik work that you're going to play a bit of for us next.
Right.
Now, this piece called Willie's Way, you know, Martin works at Yale University, is a very respected composer and teacher.
Yeah.
But the guy knows his blues.
He certainly
clearly
does. He played coffee houses for years in the 60s. He was in San Francisco in 1968 when Cream performed at the Winterland. And he heard them do this great riff on the Willie Dixon Spoonful. And Willie's Way is a variation on a variation, actually. This is a piano transcription of a piece he wrote called Fantasia on a theme of Willie Dixon. And so he takes the spoonful, that spoon, that spoon, that spoonful. He takes that and does a kind of whole expansion on it in a kind of, you know, minor third Brahms meets blues, basically. So
that idea of the musical continuum, well, here it is in one piece. You got the blues, you got the contemporary classical, and the two of them play nice together.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? I mean, you know, why cut yourself off from styles that you might want to be influenced by or use?
All right, now, at the risk of stealing your thunder, because I know Saturday night is the New York premiere of the full piece, you will play a little portion of it for us?
Yes, I'm going to start in the middle and go up to where the cadenza is. So this
is... You'll leave us hanging.
Middle to the middle. I'll leave you hanging on both ends.
Okay. Lisa Moore is my guest, making her way back to the piano here in our soundcheck studio. The composer is Martin Bresnik. The piece is called Willie's Way. It is based on the Willie Dixon blues called Spoonful. And here is an excerpt played live in our soundcheck studio. etc., etc. Lisa Moore at our piano. That is just an excerpt of Martin Bresnik's piece, Willie's Way. So let me see if I have this chronology right. Willie Dixon wrote this blues called Spoonful. The band Cream went to San Francisco, played a version of Spoonful. Martin Bresnik is sitting in the audience, young, impressionable composer, writes a chamber music piece that's a set of variations on the Willie Dixon, and now has written a piano arrangement of his chamber music work. Is that essentially what's happened?
That's the short story.
That was a pretty long short story.
40 years, yeah.
And the New York premiere on Lisa Moore's concert Saturday night at Merkin Concert Hall at 8 o'clock. The program called Wires, Words, and Hammers. It's the words that really stands out in that title. You know, when you add words to music, whether it's Randy Newman or Frederick Jevsky, whose words tend to be very politically charged, you're adding another layer of meaning on top of whatever the musical meaning is. So, I mean, how do you sort of work? Is that the intent, to add more to it?
Yeah, I think that's definitely that's where songwriting comes in. I mean, tunes with interesting lyrics. I'm not just necessarily about, you know, girl meets boy or something is always been interesting to me, and then poetry and literary works as well. And it adds a layer of meaning, obviously, from the content of the words, but also a level of timbral interest, which is just, you know, a piano recital is a piano recital. It becomes quite mono after a while. And I think that this sort of expands the role of the pianist. I mean, it's nothing new if you consider Billy Joel and Elton John and Carole King. And, you know, they do it all the time. So it is new for a classically trained musician, perhaps.
So is this the end of the age of the specialist? You know, I mean, for a while it wasn't just that you were a pianist. You were a pianist who specialized in one particular niche, one particular corner of the music world. Is that ending now?
God, I hope so. I mean, not God. I mean, no, it really is just annoying, because if you do have some extra skills, it's very confounding to critics and publicists, like, oh, how do we manage that? How are we going to publicize that? And it gets a bit dreary after a while. I mean, why not, you know?
So in the case of Frederick Jevsky, you have actually recorded this big piece, De Profundis, which has a text by Oscar Wilde, written while he was serving 2 years of hard time, doing hard labor for homosexual activities. So, you know, that was his crime.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a political act to perform a piece like that?
Very much so, because first of all, Fred Jevsky wrote the piece for a gay pianist, and it was supposed to be done by a gay pianist. And when I approached him and said, would it be possible for a woman to do it? He said, well, I don't know, you know. He said, well, I'll give you the music anyway. And then I thought about how women have suffered through politics and through, you know, throughout time. I mean, but also just the general feeling of that each individual has of its loneliness and isolation, whether you're in prison or just going through your own life. And so the piece is very much more of an existential work. Of course, it adds something to know that it was written by Oscar Wilde in prison when he only had one piece of paper in the cell at a time. And it was unedited, and the letter's 80 pages long. So, yeah, it's a kind of an enormous... The Jevsky is a small version. It just takes 8 sections from that. But it involves hitting and whistling and singing and sort of self-mutilation at the piano. A little bit.
Really?
A little bit.
All right, well,
come and see.
That's the piece De Profundis. There is also a lighter Frederick Jevsky piece that you're playing on Saturday called To His Coy Mistress, with a very different text by Andrew Marvell, the 17th century English poet.
Yeah.
This is a kind of a lighter, the lighter side of Jevsky's music, isn't it?
Well, you'll hear the setting is lighter, but the poem is a carpe diem. You know, it is the poem about unrequited love, and it's,
right.
So it's pretty heavy, really.
Yeah, he's trying to get the girl into bed.
Exactly.
Seize the day, but that's what he really means. But you want to play a little bit of it?
I'd love to.
Okay. Lisa Moore is my guest. She's making her way back to our piano to play a little bit of the music by the American composer Frederick Jevsky, a setting of the text To His Coy Mistress, live here in our soundcheck studio. And the full piece on Lisa's concert Saturday night at 8 o'clock at Merkin Concert Hall on West 67th Street.
Had we but world enough and time, this coyness, lady, were no crime. We would sit down and think which way to walk and pass our long love's day. Shouldst rubies find, I by the tide of Humber would complain. I would love you 10 years before the flood. And you should, if you please, refuse till the conversion of the Jews. My vegetable love should grow vaster than empires and more slow. 100 years should go to praise thine eyes and on thy forehead gaze. Two 200 to adore each breast, but 30,000 to the rest. An age at least to every part, and the last age should show your heart. For lady, you deserve this state, nor would I love at lower rate. But at my back I always hear time's winged chariot hurrying near, and yonder all before us lie deserts of vast eternity. Thy beauty shall no more be found, nor in thy marble vault shall sound my echoing song. Then worms shall try that long preserved virginity, and your quaint honor turn to dust and into ashes all my lust. The grave's a fine and private place.
Lisa Moore live at our piano in a little bit of Frederikshevsky's setting to his coy mistress. And that'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow on Soundcheck, Tin Pan Alley was once home to America's leading music publishers and songwriters, but now 5 brownstones on the 2-block strip are up for sale. We'll look at Tin Pan Alley's place in music history. And live music tomorrow from the Ritz Chamber Players, an African-American chamber ensemble. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer with Alicia Abbott. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow, and we had help today from Alex Tatusian. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for the next Soundcheck here at 93.9.